Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm going with my camo look today. Don't ask me why. I just got up this morning and thought, how about a little bit of camo today? A lot of red, white, blue. So those of you watching the Before It's News, never seen me probably in the camo. What I wear when I'm going to war. And I realized when I got up this morning, we're continuously at war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are those? Boy, I'd like to do a teaching. I don't even like that because doing a teaching sounds like I'm the expert and you're the student. I'd like to do a discussion of that someday. If we just took that phrase, boy, here I go. If you just took that, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. We could spend a month right there. Couldn't we discuss on that? Spiritual wickedness in high places. The weapons of our warfare aren't carnal, meaning they're not physical, not fleshly, but they are mighty. So how can a weapon that you cannot hold be powerful, be mighty? To the pulling down of strongholds. What's a stronghold? Where's that stronghold I'm trying to pull down? And are we, that as we walk through this earth, in this earth, through this earth experience, are we supposed to be actively engaging in everything around us? Or is our life, once we come to faith in Jesus Christ, is our life nothing more than just sitting around and waiting for just running the clock out on our life? Is that what it's supposed to be about? Has it ever dawned upon any of you that are watching here that maybe God recruited you into an army? That he recruited you? See that right there? Why is everybody else allowed to have an army, but God's not? As soon as you start talking about God's army, all of a sudden they throw, oh, violence, violence, violent weapons, killing, shooting. Why is that? Why is everybody else allowed to have an army? Why can they get away with it? When we say, you know what, we're going to become an army too. We are an army. We're marching hand in hand. Taking back the land that Satan stole. You guys know that song? We are an army. What's wrong with that? And if you're walking, if we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, if there are evil spirits in high places, if we are pulling down strongholds and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, what would that look like? Why are so many Christians oblivious to it? Why do so many Christian churches think we're nuts? Because we say, hey, come on, man, let's get in this battle. Let's fight this fight. Why would God form a human being, put a human being into a world where there is conflict and not expect the human being to be part of the conflict? And so it doesn't even make sense, folks. It doesn't. Have you ever sat down and asked yourself, what is the purpose of your existence? Is it just to keep the devil away from you and live 80 years and then die? Is that what it is? And have kids and have more kids come along and earn a little bit of money and have an inheritance and leave it to everybody else? The Bible says that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I don't think it's money. I don't think it is. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? We don't. It is, but we do wrestle. It doesn't say we don't wrestle. It says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. But the things we're fighting against are supernatural, spiritual. The supernatural has gone out of the church. It's gone. It's absolutely totally missing. It goes back to what I said yesterday about Notre Dame. I feel bad that I wonder if any pictures of the Hunchback got burned. I feel bad about it, about the Notre Dame burning down. But France stopped being Christian decades ago. It's a museum. It's nothing more than a museum. Remember, I've told you in the past that religion is the dead faith of those now living, while Christianity is the living faith of those now dead. We are Christ's workmanship. We are it. We are Christ's body. We are Christ's church. Not the thing that burnt in France. I feel bad about it. I feel bad about all that. Any old thing like that that took 100 years to build. 100 years it took to build that thing. I mean, I hate to tell you this. I'm not sure the Lord lives there anymore. And so I feel bad that a beautiful building burnt down, just the same as I'd feel bad if a forest fire burnt down or a tornado blew into Panama City, Florida. I feel bad about that. But could that be what we see going on in France? Could that be a supernatural demonstration by God of the collapse of Western civilization that's right before us? Remember this? How often do you hear it at the opening of this song? The world's on fire. World's on fire, boys and girls. World's on fire. The culture's disintegrating. That's the opening to our show. What took place at Notre Dame is an outward expression of what's going on spiritually. France is dead religiously. France is dead. It's dead. It's a dead faith. Dead faith. It's faith without works. It's an edifice. It's a worshiping and honoring of a building and beautiful stained glass windows and wonderful architecture and gargoyles and, oh, man. Lord opens our eyes up and lets us see stuff everywhere if we'll just look at it to see it. I wasn't even going to talk about that. I really wasn't. But it's so
important. Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Repeat that statement you just made a few moments ago about religion, dead faith of those who are living.
Religion is the dead faith of those now living. And Christianity is the living faith of those now dead. Hey, Jared, go to Hebrews 12. Go there real quick. I'll show you something. Boy, Jared, it's Johnny on the spot, isn't he? What does this mean? Folks, what does this mean? Wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witness. What? Hey, Jared, back up a minute. Go to Hebrews 11. Because Hebrews 11, remember, folks, there were no chapters in the letter to the Hebrews. The chapters were put in. What is chapter 11 of Hebrews? Why, it's the faith verse. The faith verse, right? Scroll on down, Jared. Scroll all the way down to the end. Don't miss this, folks. All the way down. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And verse 40. Had God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Who's they? Well, Hebrews 12 is they. It's a continuous thought. Wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Who's he talking about? The people he just mentioned in Hebrews 11. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as the children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint for the thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be chasteneth, whereof all are partakers, then if you don't obey disciplines, then you're bastards. You're not sons. Furthermore, we have fathers in the flesh, which corrected us, and they gave us reverence. Shall we not much more be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? The Father of spirits? What? What? Wow. For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he is our prophet, that we might be partakers of his holiness. For they were verily, now no chasing for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto they which are exercised thereby. I'll stop right there. I'll keep going on and on. A great cloud of witnesses, Paul. So Christianity is the living faith of Paul. It's the living faith of Matthew. It's the living faith of all of those mentioned in the Faith Hall of Fame. That is Christianity. It's the living faith of those now dead. It's the living faith of this cloud of witnesses. Religion is Notre Dame, the dead faith. It's the dead faith of those now living. Quite a contrast, isn't it? Quite a contrast. And unfortunately, so many have been caught up into this, into dead faith. Oh, I wrote about that years ago. I remember a commentary I wrote, dead fish. Dead faith, even the dead fish float downstream. So the reason that you don't ever forget this, fellas, guys and girls. I'm sorry, not just fellas. The Lord made it very clear. Not everybody says unto me, Lord, Lord's going to enter the kingdom. Not everybody who says they are Christian are Christian. We have to understand this, and we have to also understand this, that our enemies are those of our own household. By those of our own household, certainly he's talking about your natural family and brothers against sisters. Certainly he's talking about that. But he's talking about the household of Christianity. The household of Christianity. Your enemies are those of your own household. I get more pushback, or as much pushback, from found people as I do lost. Because they're not really found. They're not really found. They're still lost. They have dead faith. They have a form of godliness. Deny the power thereof. Folks, this theme runs all throughout the scripture. I'll shut up for a minute. Somebody want to say something? Boy, that was 12 minutes of where'd that come from? Important for us to get it, see what's going on. Go ahead. Point in.
We just need to worry more about the living, about our living faith than about dead things. You know?
A living faith. Did you see people? I saw pictures of people weeping and saying rosaries while they watched that building burn. Now, I'm going to make somebody mad. I was raised Catholic. I was a practicing Catholic till I was about 18. As far as I know, I'm still one. I don't think they ever threw me out. I don't know how you get thrown out of the Catholic Church. So I think I'm still a member, maybe not in good standing, but probably still a member of that thing. Probably. But I understand the rosary. Boy, Lord, where's this coming from? I'll ride on this horse. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Can I find any of that in scripture? Well, you can find Hail Mary, full of grace. You can find that at the Annunciation. When the angel appears to Mary and says, you're with child, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Because the fruit of the womb is Jesus, right? Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now. You'll never find that anywhere that I know of where Jesus ever went to his mom and said, pray for me. Now, she may have, but he never did it. So saying the rosary is saying 10 Our Fathers, an Our Father, and 10 Hail Marys, and then the Glory Be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost at the end of it. You do that over and over and over and over and over and over. And for the life of me, now that I'm amongst the living, I have no idea how any prayer to Mary helps anybody. Can somebody explain it to me? I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm not trying to be rude. How can a prayer to Mary help anybody? There's one mediator between man and God. That's the man Christ Jesus.
Hey, Coach.
Okay, yes. Coach.
You know,
Go ahead, George.
You know what? I think when we meet the living Jesus, we're going to be so amazed at how opposite he is of this religious system. And you know, Coach, something I've really grown to appreciate you, many things, but you really are willing to play with everyone that is willing to.
I am.
For the things of Christ. And I'll tell you, the more I've gotten into this type of thing, I realize how many, quote, Christians are out there that if you don't do it their way, they won't play with you.
Gotcha.
And you know what? Our side really is. It can be so ineffective because we fight against each other on such trivial matters. It's a shame.
Yeah. Well, George, you know, when we put on these conferences, somebody said to me, why don't you find a church you can use? I said, because if it's a Baptist church, the Presbyterians aren't coming. And if it's a Presbyterian church, the Lutherans aren't going to come. It's nuts. Go ahead, Joe Silver.
Okay. I was going to answer your question about the second part of the Hail Mary, and that's because the church believes in the assumption of Mary and that she's still alive.
Yeah, she never sinned. She never had any other children. She never died. Boys and girls, I'm going to shock you. I've used this before. I've told you this before. The Hunchback of Notre Dame, right? Do you guys know what Notre Dame means? Notre Dame. Jared, you can Google it if you want to. But it is this.
Our Lady.
Our Lady. Our Lady. So that church that's burning in France is Our Lady. Jared, did you Google that so they won't think I'm lying to them? Let me see. I don't want them to think I'm Notre Dame, the Virgin Mary, Mother of Jesus. You see that, folks? Notre Dame. Notre name, Dame Mary. Dame, Notre Dame, Our Lady.
Hey, Coach.
Notre Dame football, Our Lady. Yeah, Mark.
We got to remember who Mary is. And without knowing that, you know, all the rest isn't going to fall into place. Mary is Semiramis, which is the false mother. It's a Satan counterfeit. The baby they worship is Nimrod's baby, Tammuz. That religion is a false trinity. Brahma, the father. Right? Yes, well, that's the basics of it. Everything forward from that is people off track. It's another counterfeit to divide. The second thing I wanted to say about Baptist, when John the Baptist came, it divided the followers of Jesus. It was the first denomination.
Wow.
Hey, Coach, go to Matthew 13:55, and let's see if the scripture has anything to say whether Mary had other children besides Jesus.
Uh-oh. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? Aren't his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters.
And his sisters.
Are they not all with us? Where then hath this man all these things? See, they're looking at Jesus and say, wait a minute, this dude's calling himself the Son of God. Well, there's his brothers. You know his brother Jimmy, and you know Joseph. You guys know Simon and Judas, and you know Elizabeth or Sarah or whoever they were. You know him. How can he be the Son of God? Right?
Hey. And she was going with them because they thought that Jesus lost his mind. They wanted him to come out and say, hey, we need to talk to you. There's something wrong with you. And he said, who are my mothers and my brothers and my sisters?
Yes,
they wanted to take Jesus out of the house. They thought he was nuts, including Mary.
And then when they were offended because he claimed to be Jesus, it says here, but claimed to be God. But Jesus said unto them, hey, don't worry about it. Prophet is not without honor, except where he lives, his hometown, his own house.
His own house.
And
his
he
own
did,
family.
And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Isn't that something? Even Jesus couldn't minister to his own family. Isn't that something?
Maybe that is why the American church is dead.
And what do you mean by that, Raj?
Well, he did not do any healing there. Why would he heal in the average American church? Why would he heal there?
Why would he?
Hey, Coach, if I may, I want to go back to George's statement. Praising your brother, you're truly a blessing. But it's not because that you're willing to play with others, brother. I've known you all these years, brother. You're willing to fight with others, and that's what I was telling people yesterday after the show. I said I have been in many foxholes with Coach. That's where our bond is, right there.
Amen. Amen. Amen, baby. That's right. Talk about telling old war stories, right? That's why they had the American Legion, so those guys could get together and tell old war stories together. And unfortunately, we don't have any war stories in the church, do we? You can't. How often can you guys wait to go get around some of your brothers at church and tell war stories? That's why when they try to have men's breakfasts, there's no power to it. And nobody ain't got a story to tell. All they can tell about the Blue Jackets sweeping the Tampa Bay, whatever. They can tell stories about that. They tell about the Buckeyes or the Browns, but they don't have any faith stories. There's no bond there. It's all phony. It's empty. Vain religion, sadly. Not in all cases. So listen, here's where I got to get moving here. Oh, it's pretty good. This is pretty good. This Friday, folks, listen, we're going to take communion on this show this Friday. So here's what you all need to do. We're going to do it at the conclusion of Friday's show. And this includes all the people who are watching on the internet, all the people who are watching on Before It's News, everywhere that we're being streamed. You can participate in this. Whenever you are, like right now, I'm telling this. Whenever you watch the show, whatever time you watch the show, you have it prepared to do communion with us. And even though you may not be doing it exactly at the same time as we are doing it live, it can be live right where you are. It says as often as you do this in remembrance of me. So find yourself some juice. Find yourself some cracker, something to signify the body. Find yourself some bread. And we're gonna have communion at the conclusion of Friday's show. Now, Larry's not in here with us, but Larry loves to do the communion gig. So I'll get a hold of Larry and talk about it. And I asked the guys before I went in the hallway, I said, I'm not doing anything sacrilegious here, am I? Listen, if you're not worthy of receiving it, then don't receive it. You're the one who will make that determination. And so just thought we would do that. Listen, a couple things that I want to pop up here. I'm really still stuck on this Easter thing, but I've got a couple more days to kind of unfold it as we move towards it. Easter eggs and paganism and Lent. And I think it's important for us to know. I'm going to move a little bit of it in here today, but I want to talk about something else first that you just understand exactly what's going on. This is coming totally, completely out of nowhere. Ted Brewer, I don't know if you guys know who Dr. Ted Brewer is. Ted Brewer's got me on. I got a hold of him and talked to him about some of the things I was dealing with. I'm not going to let that old man in. You know what I'm saying? I'm 66 and a half, going on 67, as kids like to say. And I'm just fighting that old man off. I'm not going to let that old man in. So Ted put me on, gave me some Health Masters. Free advertisement, healthmasters.com. Ted set up a protocol for me. One of the most important things that Ted gave me it's done wonders for me. He said, Coach, get a little mini trampoline and run on your mini trampoline. Because I still like to run, jog, and I go out and jog. My body's, a lot of sports injuries. And I go out and run. I'm sore for 2 days after I run. And then I said, man, Lord, this is defeating the whole purpose of it. And so Ted said, get a little trampoline and run, jog. I just jog on the trampoline. He said, there's no pounding. It doesn't do anything to your joints, but you get the same cardio response. I got to tell you, I can't believe it. I can't believe how life is beginning to come back to my legs. My lower back's beginning to loosen up. And you can just go to your local Walmart and you can get yourself a mini tramp, and it's amazing. And he told me to, you know, I don't know whether they thought I was really out of shape or something. He said, start with 1 minute. Do 1 minute and then stop if you can't do any more. And he said, build up to doing that twice a day. Well, I can run. And so, you know, I started out at 12 minutes twice a day. I can't, man, good cardio work. I just thought I would throw that in. I think it's important. Little mini tramp, get on it. Get your heart rate up. Healthmasters.com. Ted Brower is, Rebound. Yes, they're known as rebounders. Somebody said they are known as rebounders. Jared, get a little picture. There's Healthmasters. There's Ted.
Yeah, Dr. Brower, incredible.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, he really, it, stuff. I was kind of skeptical when I started taking some of the stuff, but it's good. It's good stuff, man. It ain't cheap. It ain't cheap. But, you know, as we all know, we're ingesting so many different things, chemicals, metals. We're ingesting all this stuff. And, boy, he's cleaning me up, man. I'm telling you. Praise the Lord. And then, Jared, pull a picture up for mini tramp. So, people, I'm not assuming you guys are stupid, okay? Here's a picture of a mini tramp. You can get them for $25. You can get them. There they are. Those little rebounders. Little things right there. That one right there. In fact, Jared, that's what I have without the handle. You won't believe it. I found a deal. I got it for $28 at Goodwill. I walked in there. It was a brand new one in a box at Goodwill. Got it for $28. It's a little mini tramp. And so you just get on it and just jog. And then sometimes I do jumping jacks. And my heart rate gets up. I'm sweating when I'm done. Right there it is, one for $30.49. So anybody out there like me, you'd like to get rid of like to lose some LBs, and that is a good way to do it. Okay, I'm sorry. Thanks. Thank you, Lord, for letting me share that with people. Our health matters, man. Our health matters. I want to talk to you real quickly here about the Ten Commandments. And I'm going to head this in a funny way. I still want to talk about Easter, I do, but I got to get this off my chest first. By the way, pray for me today. I go back to one of those suburban high schools this morning. Remember, I was there 2 weeks ago. I'll go back again today, get a chance to influence those kids. So keep me in prayer from about 10:15 to noon, if you would. I'll be addressing them today. I ran into a friend of mine one time, and our grandkids are always coming over. I love my grandkids. But every time they get together, they fight. And we spend all our time saying, David, share. You share with Macy. Macy, you share with Mia. You guys share. Come on, you share. And I had a guy tell me one time something really, really stuck with me. He says, Coach, you got that backwards. What do you mean? He says, don't teach your grandson to share. Teach your granddaughter not to covet. But what? Wow. Yeah, teach them not to covet. Do you understand that many of the problems that we have in America today? You look at those snowflakes, those kids. We were out the other day. We love our children so much. I'm not talking about just Michelle and I. We all love our children so much. We daunt over our children. We give them everything. Come on, let's be honest here. Life is so easy for children today, American children today. Back in my great grandfather's day, they had children because children were workers. 3-year-olds and 4-year-olds had jobs they were doing. They were working in the fields. They weren't being daunted over, getting gifts all the time and candy and these things to play with. No. And so we have really, really violated the 10th, not 8th commandment, 9th, 10th commandment, isn't it? 10th, thou shalt not covet. Jared, pull up Webster's. What does covet mean? What does it mean to covet? And see, we are in a trouble in America today because welfare is coveting. It's coveting, folks. To covet is to desire or wish for with eagerness, to desire earnestly, to obtain or possess in a good sense, to desire inordinately, to desire that which is unlawful to obtain or possess in a bad sense. So to covet, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house or wife or servant. That doesn't mean you don't drive by somebody's house. Say, oh, what a beautiful home. Oh, that would be a nice place to live. No, to covet means to actually try to go get what belongs to somebody else. My grandson, David, he picks up a toy to play with, and here comes Mia or Macy, and she wants it. She covets David's toy. And we say to David, David, share with Macy. Now, that's a different thing. We should teach our children to share, but first and foremost, we must break them from coveting. But folks, coveting has become the American way. It's the American way. Everything that we see through our taxation system is it's in a mess because of the result of coveting. Somebody desiring to have from you what they did not earn. Now, let's not forget this. The Bible's very, very clear. We are to give. We're to give. Give joyfully. But the problem in America is not that people won't give, but that people are coveting. And then also, the sixth commandment, I think, thou shalt not steal. So our government is so corrupt because our government is stealing from us and giving to those who covet. That's violation of the two of the Ten Commandments right there. If you think taxation is not theft, I don't know what to tell you, folks. I got some stuff to share with you. Thou shalt not covet, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not steal to give to those who covet. And if I see somebody in need, it's my job out of the goodness of my heart to go help them. But for them to sit out there and demand that I give them housing and food, that's why our society is broken down. I'm going somewhere with it. I'm just going to stop there and let somebody come in and make a comment.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
That's exactly what you hit a vein there. That's exactly what socialism is. It's a counterfeit to what the church should be doing.
And everything is counterfeit, isn't it? Yes.
And what and most churches are teaching covetousness. You know, they're teaching it. You know,
like
flab it and grab it and all that stuff. You know,
that's right. That's all it is, isn't it, Paul? That the Lord's going to give you that stuff that you covet. If you do this and you give this, you do this, the end result is if you give, it's going to be given to you. So the whole idea, when you look at it, when you get it right down to the knuckles, you give to get. That's coveting. Why can't we see this? Somebody else. Go ahead. Or somebody, Paul. Because I believe this is a revelation to some of you. I believe it is. And so as we ask the blessings of God upon our country, upon our nation, how does he bless something that's in clear violation of his law? Thou shalt not covet. Not your neighbor's goods, not his wife, not anything that belongs to your neighbor. Where does the government get the right to come and steal from you to give to somebody else who covets? I'm going to show you some stuff here, man. It's going to curl your toes. Now, okay, let's do that. Hey, Jared, click on the link that says foreign aid. Foreign aid. I'm trying to read the chat. If you guys see me look down sometimes, I'm trying to keep up with what's going on here in the chat room. Taxation. I'm back on that taxation thing. Maybe that's why the FBI came and visited me. I don't know. I really don't know. Oh, my goodness. Thank you, Lord. The thief has come but to kill and to steal and to destroy. Ain't the devil? It is the devil. It's coveting men. Coveting men. Folks, look at this. Look at this. Now, again, let's go back to the whole thought of coveting and stealing and loving your neighbor and helping your neighbor. This is Obama's budget proposal. $4.5 trillion, $42.4 billion is foreign aid. Okay, Jared, let's scroll down here, man. Let's look at this. Foreign aid. I don't want to read it. There's some charts. Just going down to the chart. Look at this. U.S. assistance by program. Now, folks, this is coveting. These nations are coveting from us. The government's stealing from us to give to them. Anyway, you cut it to what's going on. Migration and refugee assistance, $2.8 billion. Development assistance, $3 billion. International Disaster Assistance, $2 billion. Economic Support Fund, $6 billion. Your money, foreign assistance. Global Health Programs, $8.6 billion. Military financing, $5.7 billion. Foreign, this is foreign, right? Foreign. Afghanistan Security Forces Fund, $3.4 billion. Coalition Support Funds. Counter Drug Assistance. They bring the drugs in, and then they take tax money to counter the drugs. International Narcotics Control Law Enforcement, $1 billion. Jared, let's go down to the next one. This is just by one program. That's an economic and development program. Then the use of economic and development assistance by country. Afghanistan gets $1 billion. We give Afghanistan $1 billion. Pakistan gets 4.22 million. Jordan gets 632 million. Ethiopia, 5.2 million. Kenya, 6.8 million. 618 million. Look at this. Look at this money. This is coveting, folks. Not only that, look at Senegal and Mali. There's all a bunch of little ones down there. Tanzania gets 574 million. Zambia. Are these folks our friends? Iraq gets 332 million. Indonesia hates this. $150 million in aid. Jared, go to the next one. Go on down to the next chart. Security assistance. What? We give Mexico $85.6 million in security assistance, and they send us to the refugees. Colombia gets $2.3 million. Syria, $3.3 million. Lebanon, Afghanistan gets $3.6 billion. Iraq, Israel gets $3.1 billion. Pakistan, $319 million. $3.1 billion goes to Israel. Egypt gets $1.3 billion. Jordan, most of these people aren't even our friends. They're not even our friends. Did they get your permission to come and take your money to do that? Top 10 economic assistance, Afghanistan, $4.7 billion. Israel, $3.1 billion. Economic assistance. Egypt, look down through there. $1.46 billion. Egypt, Iraq, $1.14. Jordan, Pakistan, Kenya, Nigeria. Where are they getting the money? These people covet it. The government steals it. And the government gives it to them. Well, shut up a minute. Wait a minute. How about this? Arms sales. We give money to Canada. Oh, my goodness. Look at this chart. Turkey, South Korea, $788 million. Turkey, Iraq, $1.8 billion. Israel, $871 million. Saudi Arabia, $3.3 billion. That's for oil, I would assume. We even given those Australians $2.6 billion. Where's all this money coming from? Then we'll shut up a minute. Somebody come in there. I got something else.
That money comes from we the people. And once again, I think that's odious debt. It's not money that we agreed to loan out. It's not money that we should be accounted for.
That's like me giving money we don't even have. We're $21 trillion in debt.
Amen. It's not money we're lending out. It is money we're giving away.
Giving away.
It is bribes paid to the leadership and the ruling classes of those countries.
It's what it is.
Friends.
That's what it is.
In many instances, it's graft. I looked separately. I'm looking at a different list. I knew we were doing this, but I just want to see what the number was. China. We're giving almost $18 million to China for economic development.
Unbelievable, Lowell. Unbelievable.
Incredible.
Yeah. And they come. Well, let's do it. Yeah, I got time. Jared, I just came across, somebody sent this to me. The Patriot Nurse. You guys ever seen The Patriot Nurse? Probably haven't. Where are you going to now? Watch this 6-minute clip from The Patriot Nurse.
Today, 444,000
views.
Taxes. So, friends, I'm out here and I'm taking stock of my garden, and I'm pretty livid about paying taxes this year. I'm not generally thrilled about it, but this year was pretty nasty. I paid $2,200 in fees for not purchasing a product, namely healthcare or the Obamacare exchange. That wasn't going to help me in the first place, so I got penalized for that. Trump's supposed to do away, or I think it's supposed to go away next year, but that's not going to eliminate my self-employment tax, which I paid. It's not going to eliminate the taxes that I've paid for essentially working, producing wealth. I don't get to keep any of my money. How is this supposed to be patriotic, to steal the labor of people? Right about now is when people say, oh, okay, you know, there are two things you can't escape in life, death and taxes. Well, I'm so glad our founding fathers didn't think that way, because they thought, well, death may be inevitable, but unrighteous taxation is not inevitable. It's something worth fighting about. And so they did. After a long series of offenses and grievances that were committed against them, they tried through all peaceful means to redress them. And then ultimately, when the British came to confiscate their powder and their firearms, they fought back. But I'm standing in this field right now. Taxation of income is an abomination. And it's something that's new in this country. Okay, our founding fathers definitely did not approve of that. The taxation that we see now in income tax was instituted around about the time of the Federal Reserve in 1913, if I got this right. It penalizes workers. It penalizes people who get out every day, like you and me, and work. And you know who it steals our money? Well, you know they steal it from you, but do you know who they redistribute that money to? People who despise us. People who want to take more of our money and more of our rights, make us less free. And when I wrote that check this year, that's all I could think of, man. It was everything that I could do to hold myself back from writing in the memo section, thank you for crushing the American dream. A country that up until 1913 didn't have an income tax. We had other ways that we met our budgetary needs. And oh, by the way, we didn't have social programs back then. Social programs that incentivized laziness. Laziness. My generation, guys, like the edge of Generation X, we're not going to see Social Security. I'm paying into something that was foisted upon my grandparents. Well, I guess you could say that my grandparents allowed, and everybody else in that generation allowed, for it to go through. But, oh, like, when does this stop? When does this stop? Our founding fathers knew when it stopped, and it only stopped when they put force behind it. And folks, before they even put force behind it, they started boycotting things. They ceased compliance. And you know what? Like, I'm getting to the point where next year I may not pay taxes. Oh, they're going to do this, that, and the other. Whatever. Whatever. Like, I'm tired of living a life that makes me a slave serving people who hate and despise me, who don't recognize that I'm a human being with rights that were gifted to me by God, just like you. That's who our tax dollars are going to. I'm over it, man. Over it. In the field, walking around with a sweat of my brow, I lined all this stuff out. I know where all my stuff's supposed to be, planted it. And those people have a mentality that they are owed my labor, that they're owed the fruit that comes out of my garden, not me, that they're owed it, and that I should be happy, and that I should feel patriotic about allowing them to come into my property, whether it's a wallet or a garden, and steal whatever it is that they deem appropriate. I'm livid, man. I'm livid. I'm so livid I can hardly talk. But folks, tax day. It's Patriot Nurse's tax day message, man. It's unjust. It's ungodly. And at this point, it's going to support infanticide. It's going to support things that are heinous. I don't know how this stops unless we stop complying. What I got for you guys. If you enjoy the video, I hope you'll subscribe. If you got some maybe camaraderie.
I guess I'm supposed to talk now. I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. But everything she said's true. See, we think for
how about just she's right. She's absolutely right.
Right. She's absolutely right. And think about, again, the stuff I just showed you, where all of our tax dollars go. And how about this? How about we're giving our money? She's out working and you're out working and you're giving your money. Wait a minute. The government gets the money before you get yours and withholding. And they take that money and they give it to people who are coming here who want to slice our throats. They could. Now, say, Coach, are you anti-government? No. I'm pro-righteous government. I'm pro-righteousness. What's happening to us is tyranny. Tyranny. I just thought I'd show that to you today. Let me shift gears on you here. So here's the latest one. I'm going to bring Mike Heath in here to talk a little bit about this. We have another ban now. I have another ban. Yes, you're right. American Express. You ready for this? To whom it may concern. It's come to our attention that your company, I'm a company now, is unlawfully featuring an American Express trademark on CoachDaveLive.com, an active website. American Express Company is the owner of numerous trademark registrations for the American Express mark around the world. American Express has continuously and extensively used and advertised its American Express trademark, making the American Express mark famous in the United States and worldwide. American Express Company also uses its American Express mark in connection with its internet web services. There's the website. The American Express trademark is a valuable asset of our company, and we will take all reasonable steps to protect the mark. We cannot find a record that you are authorized by American Express to use our name and trademark. Free advertising, I'd call it. If you believe you have such authorization, please let us know so that we can research this issue. Your company's unauthorized use of an American Express trademark will tarnish the goodwill American Express has established in its mark and in violation of federal and state law. Unlawful use of American Express on your crazy Christian company's website is likely to cause confusion, mistake, or to deceive the public is in violation of an American Express's protected trademark rights. If you continue to do that, people are going to think we're Christian and we stand for righteous government, and we don't. Indeed, your company's use of our Federal Express is to falsely create the impression that American Express is somehow associated with your slimy Christian company.
A bunch of deceivers.
Accordingly, we request that you remove all use of the American Express mark or anything else confusingly similar thereto from your company's website within 10 days. Yes.
Just take American Express off your thing and don't use it anymore.
Well, not only that, Paul, I have two American Express cards. I have the golden one that you have to be top notch credit to do it. They're going to hear from me, right?
Hey, because he got no record of you, though.
American Express, Discover. Come on in here, Mike. Talk about. I didn't get this. See, this was sent to Jared and Mike. The guys are handling our web. They got this. I didn't get this. What's this mean, Mike?
Well, Coach, I'm all for not using it. But here's the problem. We've now lost the opportunity to use Discover card to enable people who choose to use Discover Card or American Express Card to make donations or make purchases. In our case, make donations to Coach Dave Live. Those individuals are no longer able to do that. We're down to what, Visa and MasterCard, I think.
They want to tell those people where they can spend their money, Mike, in essence, right?
Yeah, and what happens is, we'll remove the logo, but somehow the magic of the internet, whatever, behind the scenes, they're able to deny an American Express card holder or a Discover card holder the opportunity to use their card to make a donation to your ministry. This is scary stuff. I mean, this is kind of like running out on the roads and pulling everybody who drives by. And if somebody has a viewpoint you don't like, then they can't use the road anymore. They can't drive on the roads anymore.
Well, it's really a form of censorship is what it is. I mean, basically.
Paul, not only that, it's a form of discrimination, which I thought you're not allowed to do in America. Wish we had a lawyer that knew something about that. Do we have one that knows anything about that? How can they do this? And does it matter?
I'm not a lawyer.
They're a private business. I would question, why can they use the word American, the bastards?
Amen.
Should be un-American Express, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it should
be. That's what I'd put on the website. Put their logo up there with a big cross through it, a band through it, and say un-American Express. We don't accept American Express. Flip it back on. I mean, I've dealt with them before in my businesses for 30 years, and they charge more. They're twice as expensive as Visa, MasterCard. I mean, and it's a, you know, it's nothing but a snob appeal. It started out a snob appeal. Now, quite frankly, they'll pass them out to a chimpanzee. Okay, anybody can get them. Okay.
Well, there's nothing to it. They came to me. Right? They came to me.
Right.
I didn't go to them. Maybe I'm crying over something, folks. This is really happening
more and more because industry, the firearms industry has been facing this for 5 or 6 years, and it's accelerating. Where the major banks will not handle their business, they won't accept deposit accounts. They won't process the major credit card companies. Won't process business transactions for them. And now it's flipping over to what we're being told now. We're marginalized Christians. Okay, we're extremists. Okay, and we're not good enough to do business with.
The FBI comes and visits us, right? Because we don't willfully allow them to steal from us. We object when they steal from us. They put in the chat over here the YouTube from Chase Bank about Project Veritas. Chase Bank's doing the exact same thing. You say, well, what's the big deal? Well, I can't use PayPal anymore. They pulled the plug on me. What happens to Pass Assault Ministries? What if PNC Bank, that's my bank, what if they decide they don't want to do it anymore? They're a private institution as well. What if Visa says, sorry, coach, you've paid every one of your bills. Man, you are a great customer, but man, we just don't agree with your ideology. Even though your credit score is over 800, we're going to pull that. And then MasterCard says, you see how they choke us out? See how they squeeze us out? The beast system, this governmental beast system that anybody pushes back against. Somebody come in.
Coach, folks need to pay attention to this. One way to get a really good sense about it in a fairly short period of time is to Google Tommy Robinson and then spend a little bit of time looking at what he's accomplished over the last 5 or 6 years. In the last month, he's been deplatformed from everything on the internet, just like Alex Jones. He basically doesn't exist anymore on the internet.
Wow, amazing, huh?
And what's his sin? I mean, his sin is a number of years ago he got mad about his local town and the rape gangs that were identified with Islam, and it really made him upset. And he decided he would do something about it. He ended up writing a book, and now he is not allowed to exist.
You're not allowed to exist. Well, let me give you another little bit of good news here, folks. This will explain what's going on. Remember how we started? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Let me back up. Should we all call American Express? Do it if you want to. It's just amazing. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places like at American Express and Facebook and YouTube and Google and PayPal and those are evil spirits in high places. And you know daggone well that if they were banning us because we were black or we were gay, they wouldn't get away with that. They wouldn't get away with that. But they do that to us because they know what we're going to say. Oh, well, they're good Christians. Christians don't sue. Christians are, They forgive. Don't worry about them. We will bury them.
Amen, brother.
Here's some good news for you. Just make you all happy. Jag, Jared, click on flags on Capitol Hill. In case you missed this one, this is good news for you. Somebody trying to come in? I hear somebody's mic clicking.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, I'm kind of late to the party this morning, but anyway, it's probably been stated, but it appears that of all this kind of thing that's going on that you've been discussing, that it's laying the groundwork for the mark. I mean, you referenced it as the beast system, and that's what it is, but it seems to me that they're just laying the groundwork. They're getting the whole thing moving in that direction, and piece by piece, they're silencing and censoring and making Christians non-existent, if you will, in the internet and radio, whatever. And, you know, for when they actually just kind of do the last thing that puts it all in place. I mean, that's what it seems like. I don't.
Well, the only way they can ever win, folks, is to destroy the Christian influence. It's all connected. It's all connected. The only opposition to all of this anti-Christ agenda is Christ. Hey. And the churches are sitting silently letting this stuff go on. We're the opposition, and there is no opposition. Yeah, Roger.
This is not what they meant by turning the other cheek.
Absolutely. No, sir. Did you want to say something, Roger? I thought I was Roger. Maybe what? Well, let me end this here. What time is it? Yeah, let me end this on this great news. Jared's got it up on your screen there. How about this? April 15, 2019. The MIA POW flags have been replaced with transgender flags on Capitol Hill. There's the picture for it right there on your screen. You see that transgender flag? That used to be the POW, MIA flag. They took that baby down because we have to honor the deviants, sexual deviants. Amazing, isn't it, folks? It's amazing stuff that's going on. So, again, doubling back. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. It's evil spirits, wicked spirits, places. And weapons of warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. Why would God give us weapons if we're not supposed to use them? He didn't say that. I'm sorry, you wrestle not against flesh and blood. And man, I'm sorry, you don't have any weapons. Doggone it! If I was going to start all over again, I'd made a way for you all down there on earth to have some weapons to cast down imaginations. Every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Daggone it. I'd have been thinking, I'd have given you guys some weapons. Oh, he did? And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down strongholds, prayer, fast, and go. Prayer, fast, and go. Pray, fast, and do. Pray, fast, and speak. Pray, fast, and push back. Pray, fast, and expose. Pray, fast, and reveal. Pray, fast, and stand up. Are you kidding me? Would those be our weapons? Maybe he's talking about. Are we living out a self-fulfilled prophecy of evil? Is Christ's message one of victory or defeat? And is his church marching in victory or defeat? And the world's looking at the church knowing that there's no opposition coming from the church, so they are just steamrolling right over the top of us. They can't discriminate against you because you're black. They can't discriminate against you because you're gay. They can't discriminate against you because you're a homophobe. You can't because you're a transgender. They can't discriminate against you because you're a woman. But you're a Christian. Hell, get out of the way. Here we come. Mow those babies down, boys and boys. It's right out there in front of us. Time for us to wake up. Push back. God bless you. See you tomorrow.